So yeah, he said he'll be here any minute now. I don't know what the holdup is, but he texted me 5 minutes ago, so he should be here soon.
Hey, guys, I just got in from LAX. I'm so sorry I'm late. You are not going to believe what happened to me. I saw Brad Pitt, and he stabbed me.
What?
Brad Pitt stabbed me, you guys.
Okay, you're going on record saying Brad Pitt,
World War Z, Ocean's 13 through 11, backwards, he stabbed me. And I'm bleeding, but like, Brad Pitt, guys. Brad Pitt, you guys. La 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 la, here comes the sun. Brad Pitt stabbed me, you guys.
Oh my gosh. La la la, here comes the sun. Are you okay?
Brad Pitt.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, cool. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore guys.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys.
Guys, thank you for joining us again for episode 321.
Here comes the sun. Oh my god. Yeah. I saw the look on your face and I was like, what? What's so funny?
I think that's the angriest anyone's ever been hearing this song.
Not this shit.
Here we
again.
Go with the Beatles.
We'll play this on repeat throughout the whole episode, I think. That sounds right, right?
I would say it's all right.
Oh, Allie, I bet you could do a really good cover of this, actually. Like,
ooh,
sincerely.
I would love to.
Oh, no, I'm talking to her before I introduce her. Oh, no.
An unprecedented move.
That's happened
la,
every time.
Nope, shut up.
La, la. Special guest.
Hey, it's Allie Gertz.
What a great and worthy introduction.
All right, I'm going to go.
No, you know her. From Everything's Coming Up podcast. You know her from Firewalk Talk With Me.
Firewalk Talk With Me.
Firewalk Talk With Me.
Firewalk.
You know her
talking.
From her terrific album. It's Allie Gertz.
Yay!
Everything's Coming Up podcast.
Yes.
That's your new podcast.
It's my new Simpsons podcast.
Yeah.
It's very fun. We talk to our favorite writers and comics about their favorite episode of The Simpsons.
Do you talk to some of your least favorite writers and comics ever?
Ugh, yes. Oh.
They're one and the same.
It's hard to book sometimes. Allie, thank you for coming back to the show. Part of the Three Timers Club.
I'm excited. Thank you.
I'm glad I gave you this episode. Someone on Twitter specifically said to me, I hope whoever does this one is a Gilly and Team Jess because it's going to be really hard if they're not. And I was like, don't worry, guys. We got it.
We should have got Ben Rogers back.
Am I the biggest Team Jess person you've had on the show?
You and Aisha, I say, would be. And
yeah.
Who else? Julianne, kind of. Julianne Smolinski.
That makes sense.
Everyone else is either agnostic or not Team Jess. I'm trying to think of some others. I'm probably missing a few. But let's get into the episode discussion. This is episode 321.
Why do you sound so like,
hey, you're a little bummed out.
Let's start it.
Well,
let's
because it's ahead. Not it's not a good episode, guys.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I think it's a fine episode.
You do?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's a fine episode for the purpose of this podcast, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got a lot to say about it.
So yeah, there's going to be good discussion about it.
Going to be some.
I was very excited to do it for the podcast because, truthfully, when we did the Twitter and the Facebook questions, we got more than we have for almost any episode
really?
For this
wow.
one. I can't wait
well,
to
all
go
of the
through
questions,
them.
What?
Yeah, a lot of them were
great.
This is episode 321. The Netflix synopsis is: Jess leaves for California, where his father lives. Rory helps Emily choose an outfit for Rory's graduation, resulting in a conflict with Lorelai. Oh, man. So here's a little segment we do called Pop
Goes
the
Culture. And I say
the culture. Every pop culture reference in the episode. I should work on my transitions because I just
you should
stop things suddenly. Every pop culture reference in the episode, and we listen to him back. You know what it is. It's season 3. Come on, get it together.
What's happening?
Here we go. Here comes the sound pop goes the culture.
Oh, my God. It's Audrey Hepburn.
What?
You're Audrey Hepburn in Sabrina.
Like
just a waif with eyes.
Hey, did you have a bad dream? The one where you finally meet Christiane Amanpour and she's really stupid?
Do you think a person travels all the way across the country just to listen to a Bowie song? Granted, a classic off Ziggy, but still.
When we're in Spain, we need to know how to say, does Antonio Banderas live near here?
They're
when
obsessed
in France,
with them.
Does Johnny Depp live near here?
When in Rome, does Gore Vidal live near here?
I had that exact suit made in mint for Mrs. Walter Cronkite.
Does that sexy guy in the Peugeot ad who had a bit part in Armageddon live near here?
Ginger Rogers, well.
I tried to retire once. Olivia de Havilland wouldn't hear of it.
Suddenly, I'm Felicity without the hair issues, and I'm not terribly comfortable with that.
My little Holly Hunter in broadcast news.
No,
that is accurate.
Yes, we're good.
Rufus, Legolas, Caligula, Mudball, General Lee, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, and Spot.
What book?
Lovely Bones.
Did you like it?
It's not my taste, but I respect the attempt.
Looked like the Academy Award audience during Michael Moore's speech.
Hey. Oh, boom. My God, it's Natalie Wood. Look, Sabrina, it's Natalie Wood.
When did you do South Pacific?
Like owning a Rolling Stone CD is no longer grounds for expulsion. You can work the demerits off in the campus cleanup crew.
This is a little late to throw me a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle birthday party.
I learned that from Tova Borgnine.
Hey, did you ever see The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
I had the exact shirt on Jimmy Stewart
yes.
the night before his colonoscopy.
That's Richard here.
He came through it clean as a whistle.
He's just like, all right, chill out. So that character, Miss Celine, the third character played by Alex Borstein on this show.
She's got reach.
Yeah. It's a very Mad TV-esque character, yeah. Right?
Why is my question, because they had to put her in like prosthetics for this.
Right. Oh yeah, like she has like an old lady neck.
Yeah, so
that's
this
the
is
thing
like,
I noticed the most.
This is a casting that's just like we just wanted Alex Borstein to come back specifically.
Right. Yeah. They didn't want an old lady.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder what the process was behind that.
They just really
the
like
process.
Alex Borstein, I guess.
I really like it though. It reminds me of what's her face, the little costume wardrobe lady in The Incredibles.
Kind oh of. Yeah, Edna. Edna Mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also that lady on NCIS.
What?
No, never mind.
Who is Edna based on? She's based on a real person.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, my God. I read an article about this woman in Rolling Stone.
Yeah, me too.
Fran Lebowitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calvin Klein.
I cannot believe I couldn't remember that. But yeah, wow. I mean, a lot of characters on TV are based on that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Just very influential and like very set in their ways. I love it.
I love her.
I feel like this is the broadest character that's ever been on the show.
What do you mean by that?
Like just
like the most of a broad.
No.
she's a broad.
In
yeah,
a real
she's
big
the
way.
Broadest character ever broad on this broad.
Those shoulders are like wingspans.
No, but you know what I mean? Like it's so big.
Yeah.
It's so big.
It's also a character that feels like it didn't need to be there, so it's so much funner that it is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of the only times that, like, I definitely, like, get a little freaked out when there are new characters introduced to any show because mm-hmm. I get stuck in my ways. I'm excited eventually, but I'm just kind of like, who are you?
I don't like change.
Old lady McGillicuddy over here.
But yeah. I really felt like this one was just laughs, and it's where most of the comedy mm-hmm. in this episode came from because yeah. it's a particularly deep, dark episode as far as Jess' story goes.
And I will say it's a great character to have that, like, the joke is she's a million years old. Yeah. She was that same age when Lorelai was a kid. Because then all their crazy old references don't sound insane coming out of, like, Rory's mouth or Lane's mouth, you know?
Right.
So that's good. Okay, so do you know the story behind why this episode exists?
You told me.
I told you a little bit on the last episode. Yeah. Do you know? Okay. So here's the deal. They wanted a spinoff starring Jess.
Oh my God, what?
Wow. You got too excited because you have seen what the first episode would have been and you were still like, I'm in.
Shock. Wow. Shock, shock, shock.
What's it going to, what would it have been called?
It would have, the true title for it was going to be Windward Circle.
No.
Why?
Because that's like one of the neighborhoods in Venice.
Oh, like One Tree Hill?
Yeah.
Oh my
no.
God.
One Tree Hill, Dawson's Creek, Everwood. Windward Circle, Everwood. I know, it's all like kind of locations.
Just name it after the street, whatever.
So here's what went down in the words of Amy Sherman-Palladino, because this is essentially like what happens a lot in TV. This was a backdoor pilot. So this episode was to also kind of sort of function as like, this is what this show would be, Windward Circle. Whoa. And all the crazy characters on it. Sherilyn Finn from Twin Peaks.
The guy who sells the hemp hats.
I would love to see that guy.
Hemp hat guy. Okay, so this is from an interview with Palladino in Entertainment Weekly from a few years ago. She said, I'd been asked by the studio to spin off Luke. And I was like, you're going to take Luke out of Stars Hollow? He's the person Lorelai's going to be in love with. A year went by.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry. A year went by and I knew that Jess was going to have to leave the show because you couldn't keep a kid like that in Stars Hollow. He hated it too much. I always wanted to do a show in Venice because it's not the OC. It's not rich people and pristine white beaches. That's when I said, if you still want a spinoff, I'll do this. And they were like, yeah. Looking back, I don't feel like they really wanted it. I think they wanted to keep Milo happy and in the WB stable of hot boys. Then it got ugly. The last communication I got was, we won't pay for it because it's going to be an outdoor thing and it's too expensive to shoot. I learned a lesson. I'm not sure what it is, but I eventually will.
Shoot indoors.
Yeah, but it's like the beach. I guess that's the whole thing of it.
I'm so sick of Venice. How about we go back to the city?
Yeah. I know, surf music, like there was in this episode for some reason.
By the way, he's on the beach in like full leather jacket,
that,
long
that
pants.
Shot, so it's very iconic.
It's just like, yeah. And by the way, when that shot occurs, he's standing right next to those children, like right in front of their little
sandcastle.
Yeah,
he's standing on their sandcastle as people are doing backflips behind him or whatever, or somersaults.
As someone that doesn't own a swimsuit because I don't go to the beach or to swimming pools, I have definitely gone to things like dressed very inappropriately when I've been like accidentally at a beach. Like, oh, I wonder where this road goes. Ah, the beach.
I guess I'll stop here.
No, and like the last time I went to the beach, I was in pants, but I had a long sleeve shirt on and not a leather jacket and not all
you
black.
Don't own a leather jacket.
I did.
When?
Back when he owned a motorcycle.
Please post pictures on the internet.
Okay.
Was this DBT? Was this for your production of Grease?
No, I wasn't in Grease. I was in Footloose. And I did wear a leather jacket in that, actually. What's that?
Are you sure you weren't in Grease?
Who would you have been in Grease?
I would have been
Sandy.
Just to make the cut.
I would have been Rizzo.
Yeah. I would have been the one that has psoriasis.
Oh, whoa. Who that?
Frenchie.
Frenchie had psoriasis?
Yeah, when they're walking up, listen, when you have psoriasis, any mention of it is just like, they mentioned us. We're being represented.
Imagine you hearing them say psoriasis and going, preach.
Yeah, except that they're saying it, of course, they're saying it in a bad way. No one's ever just like, I love my psoriasis.
You know what's awesome? Psoriasis.
Flaky. I love it.
You know it's bad when the word ISIS is in it.
Boo.
Sarai ISIS. No, it's not.
I'm
it's
trying
not
to think
there.
Of a good thing with ISIS
I'm
in it.
I'm cutting this joke out of the
no.
podcast.
We're too sensitive for ISIS jokes now?
No, I just didn't think it went very well.
Sick of censorship, man.
Sometimes I'll cut out things that I don't think were very funny on
really?
My part. Not usually on other people's part, because I think that's a jerk thing. But if I think like, oh, that's stupid, I'll cut it out.
I would love to see just a moment where it's like, just silence, and we come back, and everyone's laughing. You're just like, I don't think it did very well, though, so I'm going to cut
no,
it.
No, moving on. So that is the rationale. That's why this episode is so weird and lopsided, and we go to this weird world that we don't ever go back to again. We don't see those characters again.
Yeah.
Even though we do see some of those actors again.
Mm. Did we see Sherilyn Finnegan?
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Finnegan. I didn't recognize her.
I didn't either, and yeah. I'm obsessed with her.
Same.
I love her so much, and it took me a while. But the shot of her, like, on the roof or whatever, like, she's pretty obscured. You can't tell. And also, yeah. platinum blonde hair.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
And she looks like pink.
Yeah. She was also...
Never seen them at parties together.
Well, she's getting that party started. And she's wearing this bandana.
Yeah.
That someone on Twitter asked if she had, like, a terminal disease because of the way she was wearing it. But I think some people just wear bandanas like that.
What? Nope. Only people with terminal diseases.
I feel like...
she did have hair.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, they were just like, I got to stop watching this episode. I don't want to see someone with a disease. But I'm still going to ask a question about it.
Quick cue. So...
You know what the thing is, though? Just quickly, while we're still talking about the fact that this is, like, a backdoor pilot, mm-hmm. I wish that the spinoff had been with Lane. Instead, like, her going to her Seventh Day Adventist college and, like, starting an underground, like, music distribution channel in the school or
yeah,
something.
That's like what I want to see. Rebellion, but it's so, like, it's such an adorable rebellion.
Yeah.
Have I updated you guys on my feelings on Lane? I know that the first time I was here, not a fan.
You weren't a fan.
Yeah.
Last time you were on was near the end of season two for that episode that wasn't very good.
Keep bringing on people for it's like, sorry, this isn't a great episode.
I know. That's why I'm really trying to plot out season four right now. So it's only guests for good episodes and not for bad ones, unless right. they're fun to talk about like this. But update us about your feelings on Lane.
Love her.
Nice.
I love her. She's great.
What changed? Was it Dave?
Dave is the best.
He's so
could
good.
Not like Dave more. It feels weird to like someone that's good for me, you know?
What do you mean?
I talked about this last time that Jess is like a good person to have a crush on because you need to go
it's
through
a
that
phase.
But then he is like super sweet and good and funny and nice and super mega babe.
Scared of carbonation.
Yeah, scared of carbonation. I don't play video games in case it's proven that they will
watch
make you
30 hours of 30 minutes of TV per day. In case it does make you yeah.
But Lane I really like and have become very sympathetic too, because like, you know, the one episode I saw, like, she just seemed like, okay, calm down. Like, she just seemed like she had like way too much energy.
Yeah.
And I think the writing just works better as the show goes along, like, and that she just becomes much more dimensional, and she's very funny.
Right.
I think just giving her a band changes everything.
Oh my god.
And it makes it so much better.
Yes.
Happy Alien, you're
yes.
a fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're fun. Don't you mean follow them to the edge of the desert?
Follow them to the edge of the... Oh, currently, yeah, they don't have their name, Happy Alien.
Their name is...
I'm glad that Lane finally does start to rebel. Like, it's very cool to watch.
I was excited when she made that drunk phone call, and I thought it would be more of a fireworks show, like, with her mom, but mm-hmm. I'm still glad that her mom just sort of had this, like, we're not going to talk about it, but fine.
I love that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was perfectly done.
Anywho,
you know, she's grounded for, like, 3 years after, but she got to go to prom for one night, so it's all worth
so
it.
So worth it.
Yeah, she's not in this episode, is she? Oh, no, she is. She is at the beginning.
Yeah,
which
is why she says the thing about not being able to play Rolling Stone CDs, and I was like, well, Lane can't do that, so she started an underground, like, Prohibition network or something.
And that you guys raised such an interesting point. This is actually one of our questions from the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
At PhotoGal26 asked, which Gilmore Girls character would you be most interested to watch a spinoff about? And the answer is kind of literally anyone else. I mean, think about the potential, like
Kirk,
like you could see.
No,
what? But think about that. I didn't think so about Saul Goodman, but then that
I'd watch
great.
A show that's like Dirty Jobs of Kirk getting a job every episode and then getting fired at the end of it.
Miss Patty doing some weird like sex tip show, or it's just her like owning a dance studio.
You
it's
guys
basically
are,
Bunheads.
These are web series that you guys are pitching. I could see web series with these, but like a TV show that has multiple seasons.
You wouldn't watch multiple seasons of Kirk doing different jobs? Because I would.
Babette Moore, the early years.
Yeah.
I would want it to be very grounded. Like, I want him to be very, you know, weird and neurotic and everyone
kind
else.
Kind of sad.
You know, just, yeah, I want it to be dark. Like, if it was like Louis with him, I'm on top of it. I'm on board.
I'd watch that.
Louis, but with Kirk.
What does it even look like Kirk walking through Stars Hollow in the beginning?
Kirky. Did I say Gherky?
It sounds like Gherky.
Man, I was thinking about your
That's
name.
That's almost my name.
Yeah. Gertie. Okay.
Curtsy. But then you could do, I mean, who else? Mrs. Kim, the early years. I guess I'm just singing origin stories now.
But. Kim Origins.
Kim Origins.
I mean.
Or Suki opens up a restaurant.
Suki, oh, I want know? Suki to have her own show.
She moves to the big city. I yeah, know. And Melissa her baby. McCarthy needs more work.
Who else?
She's not doing too hot right now. Taylor. Taylor probably not.
Oh, God, I hate Taylor.
No one likes Taylor, Taylor, but I think that's part of his charm that he's so unlikable in every way.
Even his family doesn't like him. Oh, yeah. Which bummed me out.
That was a bummer.
Yeah.
What about Christopher?
Christopher.
I do want to know what business he's into.
Yeah, we still don't know. Business,
oh,
business,
I would watch
business.
A Paris. I would watch Paris.
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course. Yeah. As far
anything.
As I'm concerned.
She's such a great character. And her voice is just butter.
Oh,
I would. Yeah, it's wonderful. It is very soothing, even
we
though
can't
some
talk about the
person.
Next episode yet. But there's
oh man,
my heart like oh, yes. in the next. Have you seen the finale?
Yes.
My heart in the next episode explodes at a particular
me too,
scene.
Me too. I think it's the same one.
Yeah,
we'll talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We'll talk about it off air.
Yeah,
and
but
without
on
me,
stage,
no, you'll be here.
Okay, good.
She won't be here.
Oh my, she's not gonna be here.
She's not the guest.
Oh fuck. Oh fuck.
Sorry, dude. Anyway,
what are you guys talking about?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. So anything would be better than Windward Circle Jerk.
This is gonna be a really dumb question if I'm wrong, but has Sean Gunn been in the credits this entire season?
Yes.
As I said, dumb question.
He held up the bottle in the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember being like, since when? The first time I saw that.
Hey, wait a minute. When
I was
did you
like,
get here?
Yeah.
Have I just not been paying? I don't know. Part of me is like, why is he in the credits?
Sure. I don't think he should be in the credits,
yeah.
Frankly.
Because there are so many characters that are in it as often as he is, and he's the only one that's like in the credits.
Oh, like Bad Bad Miss Patty
yeah.
and Taylor and... Yeah.
Yeah,
like him and Michelle, it seems like maybe they shouldn't be
right.
in credit.
I guess
yeah,
they
Michelle
just negotiated really good deals or something.
Yeah, I wonder what the contractual thing is on that. We always wonder that. We always wonder how much people are making.
I just want to know what the money is on this show.
I want to know what money is.
So, we have a lot of work to do.
Welcome to Kevin and Damien Explain Finances.
Now, money, baby.
101. We're going to start with what a dollar is. Imagine paper. Got it?
Got it.
Now it's green.
Whoa.
But
slow
it's
down.
It's in a like kind of a thin rectangle.
And there's a man's face
Which,
right in the middle.
Any man?
Anyone.
Not any man. Has to be a good man.
I bet none of them are good men.
None of them?
No.
I bet they've all done at least 5 bad things.
Is that what it takes? 5 bad things?
To
and
get
then
on
you get
a piece
to be
of
on a piece of money.
Oh, I thought you meant to be a bad man.
I mean, I've made 5 mistakes today, probably.
I've made 5 mistakes in recording this, guys. First of all, is Sean Gunn in the credits?
Okay, so the drama, I guess, it's kind of inert because it's all setting up a thing that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
In Venice, which, by the way, he gets there overnight from the bus that he takes.
I looked up how long it would take to take a bus from Hartford, Connecticut
sure.
to Venice Beach. Driving, it is 43 hours.
Wow.
All right.
And then factor in the fact that he's on a bus and there are probably multiple stops. Why is he on a bus for so long?
It's probably the only thing he can afford.
43 hours, though?
Yeah.
I feel like the
Some
cost
Walmart
of that
money, bro.
That Walmart.
Some sweet Walmart.
The severance
money.
Package was a single Greyhound ticket anywhere.
It's a Greyhound black card. That'd be amazing. But yeah, we meet these characters. Jimmy, who we met in the previous episode, yeah. which is just a male Jess.
It's bizarro Luke.
It is bizarre. You know what? Someone brought that up on...
both of his father figures manage restaurants.
On Facebook, yeah. They said... Oh, shit. Where is it? They said April Letchworth. Letchworth? We'll see. Anyone think it was weird that Jimmy visits Stars Hollow? He seemed like a shady, strung-out lowlife. And then when you see him in California, he's exactly like Luke. He's the West Coast Luke.
He definitely is West Coast Luke.
Kind of, but not really, because Luke owns his own business. And he's like much more respected and well-established in the community, where Jimmy is disconnected and is an employee of a hot dog stand. Or does he own it?
It seemed like he at least managed it. Okay. I don't know about owning it.
He seems just like a combination of Chris and Luke.
Yeah,
like, right. I feel like Lorelai would be all over that.
Oh, that'd be weird.
I don't think
Jimmy
she should.
And Lorelai. Yeah, I know you're not advocating for it, but that would be.
Seems her type.
Now, yeah. I'm imagining that Jimmy comes back to town and Lorelai meets him and starts to fall for him, and Luke is just like, no, this is a bad idea, and that's when things go wrong. I know that's not going to happen, but I would like to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too.
I don't think we ever see Jimmy again after this episode.
I'm okay with that.
I could be wrong. Yeah, RP. Yeah, he dies. He chokes on a hot dog and dies.
You see that? I'm going to surf it all the way to Kingdom Come. He just dies in a monsoon or something.
And then Sherilyn Finn plays Sasha, who is his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she has that really long, really clunky, have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah.
You know that part where blah, blah, it takes forever, right?
Yeah.
It's
horrible.
It's not good. This is written and directed by Amy, too.
Amy.
You know, what went wrong here?
Amy, what's going on? Did you just see Wizard of Oz last night and you wanted to fit it into your play?
I'm running out. Wizard of Oz, blah, blah, blah.
I like to imagine that's how every reference comes up in.
She just saw it the day before.
Yeah. I have a strong rule that if anyone is ever screaming about Wizard of Oz to me from the top of a roof, I just got to run. Don't stay for the full
go
thing.
Go the other way.
Just go.
See, and this is what I'm wondering about the what Amy said about, oh, you know, you can't keep a kid like Jess in Stars Hollow for long. We had to take him out. But then the other weird part of that quote is we had to keep Milo happy.
Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
It does, doesn't it? Like, what is the power
I think
here?
The real part that makes me uncomfortable is the phrase stable of hot boys.
Yeah.
It's quite literal. Yeah.
Feed us more shows.
Chad Michael Mudface is in there.
Jared Padalecki.
He is. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of like the founding, he's like the patriarch of that
he's
stable.
He's secretariat.
At this point. But he's been a regular character on a WB show for like almost 20 years now. Isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy.
Like, probably longer than anyone else on that network. Or now it's the CW, whatever.
Right.
But it's an interesting thing to think about, and we should definitely keep thinking about it.
Is there any WB boy that...
Uh-oh.
I hate that phrase, but is there any WB boy that, like, fell out of the network because they're not handsome anymore? Like, who's their... what is it? Seabiscuit? Is that what happened to Seabiscuit? He broke his leg? Is
Did
that
he?
Barbaro? I don't know why I'm thinking about this hot boy horse.
Yeah, you really want this to work. You're really looking for someone here.
Almost as if I'm demanding fan art about it. No, I'm kidding. Please don't.
Okay, maybe someone on One Tree Hill? I mean, Mudface left One Tree Hill.
Anyway.
Do you guys think that Jess works better in Stars Hollow or Venice Beach? Venice Beach seems way worse for Jess.
Yeah, Stars Hollow for sure, but... I think he works in Stars Hollow. I just don't like him.
Yeah, that's why I disagree with Amy when she says, oh, you couldn't keep him there. I think that's a bullshit
the
answer.
Fact that he hates Stars Hollow is why he works in Stars Hollow. Like, right. In Venice Beach, he doesn't talk to anyone. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and he's just mumbling under his breath things like,
have the alfalfa sprouts and a plate of mashed yeast.
Yeah.
Oh, the alfalfa
who's he talking
sprouts?
To?
No one. He's not talking to anybody. He's just walking by himself.
I feel like he was saying it to me. It hurts.
Really? He was ordering food from you? Can I get the alfalfa sprouts?
Is that John Travolta?
That was Woody Allen.
About to throw up.
Yeah, all of my impressions are people about to throw up.
Allen. You're still Team Jess, right?
I'm still Team Jess, but I don't really know what the game is. Like, you know what I mean?
What
like,
he's going after? Or what
to say that it's a team, you know, like, sure. I do want to know. Like, before, it was just, like, so he could be with Rory. Or, like, for him to be a better person who gets his act together.
Right.
Well, now,
I mean, we all want that for everybody. We want everyone to be good people and do well and thrive. But
now this is just a whole new level that is really deep and sympathetic. He wants validation from his dad. He wants to find answers. He wants to kind of complete this story for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's true that this story doesn't really get too much more coverage after this episode, then that kind of makes me sad. I would love to see what happens with Jess and his dad. And, you know, I think he deserves happiness.
Yeah. As we all do.
Yeah. I definitely feel horrible about the way that he's been acting to Rory. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's and bad. I mean, when he got kind of rapey at the party.
That was really, really awful.
It's awful.
And yeah, God, Rory especially. We're also protective of her, I think, in general.
She deserves it. She's a good kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant it in a bad way. Like,
No. She deserves the protectiveness.
Hey, guys, she deserves it, right?
Well, what was she wearing?
She came up there on her... She did not make her go... No, I'm kidding.
Rory, stop! You came up
here. Yeah, that was the clip.
Yeah, the clip was... I gotta play it again. It's so good. Yeah, it's...
Rory, stop! Just stop! I did not invite you up here. You came up here on your own.
Every time I hear that, I think that's an awful, awful thing to say. And then I hear the dun 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 boom 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 doo doo doo.
There are so many things that are problematic with that back and forth. Like, she didn't go up there to the sex room. She went up there looking for her boyfriend.
It's like sex room. I hope he's in here.
If you go in here, you have to have sex with whoever on the other side.
Gosh.
Anyway, so obviously I've lost respect for Jess in many ways. Mm-hmm. I know that it's coming from this place that is very real and is coming from hurt and insecurity.
And pain and not being able to... Like, he probably can't... He doesn't have the faculties to deal with his own feelings, probably.
Yeah, and yeah. God, but, you know, what's more heartbreaking than watching Rory, who kind of, you know, has already said, like, I'm going to lose my virginity to this guy, and then has...
Oh, yeah,
it.
That we're talking about it. Yeah, that she said that to Lorelai.
Yeah. Yeah,
she said, we're talking about it.
Yeah, and then... And then has that happen? I've seen a million people do what Jess did as far as like burning contact, like not talking to the girl anymore, even though he has strong feelings, you know. And it's really hard to watch. At least I have a hard time watching it. Anytime that you have a character who like is by all intents and purposes a good person, but has gone through bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
when they do stuff
is he
that
a good
is.
Person?
I think that deep down he's a good person. I think deep down everybody's a good person.
Oh, boy.
I'm one of those.
Okay. Sure. And
but it's really hard to watch him do these horrible things. I mean, and I would be lying if I said that I liked him much less for it. But I still want him to get past those things. He's growing. Mm-hmm. He's 18, too. Like,
yeah, he's
you know,
a child.
He's a kid.
Yeah, he's a kid.
And, you know, he's,
although we're
he's
only
figuring
like
it out.
5 years removed from that, or six. But still. So I guess that brings us to, well, it doesn't bring us to, but I'm taking us there. Kind of one of the central moments in the show is when Jess does kind of break and he's very emotionally vulnerable and, he's yelling at Jimmy and he has this monologue.
I have nothing. I have no place to go. I can't stay in Luke's. I can't stay in Stars Hollow. My mother is a whack job. I mean, you're saying you're this loser and what? You don't want to take me off this terrific path I'm headed down right now? I'm not graduating high school. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, but something's telling me I better find out soon or I'm going to be that guy out there on the boardwalk selling the hemp hats.
I bought one of those hemp hats.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish that you had kept that part in there.
I almost did, but then I was like, no, I don't want to ruin the mood.
Yeah, like that line does.
It really does.
I hate that he said that.
Yeah, Jimmy's not great at... I mean, their chemistry is just, like, flawless. Like, scenes, like...
Flawless.
Why not?
Because you can't.
Why not?
Because you can't.
Why not?
Because you can't.
Man, I would watch 5 seasons of that on the WB.
That's Luke. That's exactly a Luke conversation.
I disagree.
Come on.
Luke is way more passionate about it, I think. I think when he yells, like, because you can't, it's like as he's like, pointing, being like, no, you can't. You got to go to school. And he's just like...
Like, he'll give, like, reasons and rationale.
It feels
like
realer
a couple
for
episodes
Luke, maybe.
Ago. Yeah.
Maybe also just because Luke is always angry that him getting angry
right,
at someone is, like...
Right, it doesn't seem weird.
Yeah.
So he says he has nothing and he has nowhere to go and blah, blah, blah. But he's the one that took all those things... like Jess is responsible for taking those things away from himself.
Right.
He doesn't have a girlfriend.
He dropped out of high school.
He left her. He dropped out of high school to work at Walmart. Like, to me, even that motivation wasn't enough to be like, oh, poor kid.
The motivation was to get enough money to go see his dad.
Money over everything. Was it to see his dad?
I don't think so.
I feel like the reason that he would want money is for more than, you know, something superficial. Like, I assume that that was backing all of his decisions.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never put that together.
He was working in Walmart way before he even knew his dad.
Yeah, they knew his dad was around. Mm. See, so he didn't come in until the previous episode.
True.
So why, to me, it's just like
he might have been saving money just because he was like, I don't want to live off of Luke, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
And live in Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
And maybe to move out. But I don't think specifically maybe to see Jimmy. Or if it was, then they should have set that up more in the previous episodes.
Yeah. It's interesting. With the Rory stuff, that makes me so sad. But I mean, it's truly just a case of you cannot love someone if you do not love yourself. And clearly, he has a very hard time with himself. He is putting himself through pain. Mm-hmm. And Rory is someone who would help him not feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he does not feel worthy of that.
Wow. I'm just stewing on that.
Wow. Disagree.
Wow.
Wow.
Wrong. Just kidding. I don't know. You might be right. What was the other? Oh, he had another sick burn when he was going through all the knickknacks in the house.
Clowns, cats, thongs. I wonder where his tap shoes are.
Oh, yeah. All those clowns, friend of the pillow.
Yeah, clown pillow.
God, who has like a mantle out now? Have you noticed the clown pillow in Lorelai's? Lorelai, what if we made this up? What if we're only seeing the clown pillow?
Wait a minute. Was it in our heads the whole time? No, there's a pillow. A really scary-looking clown is on it in Lorelai's living room.
Yeah, and it, like, actually belongs to Amy Sherman-Palladino, and she just, like, puts it in different
she
shows.
She used it in Bunheads 2 in Fanny's living room.
Bunheads 2?
Yeah.
Bunheads 2.
Return of the Bun. I like to imagine there's a scene where it's like, hey, Rory's asleep, but this clown pillow is really freaking me out. It's like, we don't have a clown pillow. Get out of there.
Oh, another... So many Twitter Q&As. Jerita Lee
says... I'm not
says,
singing the song again.
I know. To borrow from Jason Mantzoukas, this episode can straight up go fuck itself.
Aww.
Alfred Day says, why?
Judy, so a lot of them were just why.
Judy says, why? Just to the whole fucking episode. Why does it exist? Laura Ann says, so happy to see Jess go. Like, there's a lot of vitriol.
This isn't the last we see of Jess. They have to know that. Even I know that.
Right. Because he's in the next episode.
Yeah, and he's coming back.
I don't think so.
Ugh.
You don't? Wait, where are you in the series?
No, I definitely know already.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe he does.
Hey,
maybe
by the way, so yeah. I, you know, you gave me the episode number, and I wasn't, like, paying attention, and I've been marathoning this, and so I've already gotten, like, a few into the next season. And I was like, oh, I should probably refresh on whatever this episode is. Yeah. And I realized I skipped it. So I went from the episode last time to the graduation. And
whoa.
I was like, where's Jess? Why is this phone call happening? It was crazy. It freaked me out. And so today I finally had all the pieces put together. So I somehow skipped this very important episode.
Interesting. But it does speak to how... In a way, it's very disposable because...
Oh, totally. I was able to... I mean, it's just
like,
the
there
Jess
was no
background.
Holes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could see the background, and I was just like, that's interesting that they... I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but, you know, they could have done without this whole thing.
Especially because the previous episode ends with him on a bus, so you pretty much
you
assume
get
that
it.
He's... Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's wound up somewhere.
He's Affleck status. He's gone, baby, gone.
Yeah!
We're leaning over to high five. Sorry.
Such a weak high five.
Whatever.
The angle.
And I'm scowling.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. I came here to talk about the show.
Yeah. Some more Twitter Q&As. Aislinn Minor asked, does this make you team Jess knowing how his father is? Nope.
No. if anything, it makes me less Team Jess because his father seems fine. Just like a, he just left.
His father isn't fine, and you don't just leave. That's a huge deal to leave your kids.
No, it is. But I'm saying, like, it doesn't make me go, "Oh, poor Jess. He, his father left."
Why not?
Because I don't think that excuses anything he's done.
It's, oh my God! If I
as
if,
a blanket, I understand how it like factors into someone's like pain and their psyche and like right. and like their damagedness.
He had no role model.
To have
his
no,
mom.
Luke. No, his mom's kind of wacky.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
A but, whack job.
Yeah.
But then you meet her and she's actually all right.
Oh, we meet
have
her?
Have we met her?
Oh, you will in season 4. Maybe.
So it sounds like he comes back.
Nope, just the mom.
Hello, I'm looking for my son.
Lorelai falls in love with her.
Oh, I'm about it.
Yeah. Kathleen Wilhote, I believe is her name. The actress's name. Okay, Carrie Lawrence Magnuson asks, which actors would Miss Celine think Demi and Kevin look like?
What was the question?
Uh-oh.
What actors would Miss Celine, like, if we walked
think
into a room?
That we look like?
Ah, that's a great question.
Ron Howard. It's Ron Howard.
Oh, look who walked in. It's Ron Howard.
It would have to be older, though. Like, all the actors that she chooses are from... back in the day.
Then you're out of luck, Demi.
Yeah. fuck, what's her name from Gone with the Wind?
Oh, Hattie McDaniel?
Hattie McDaniels. It's Hattie McDaniels.
Oh my gosh.
Look, everyone. Look, Natalie and Audrey.
It's Hattie McDaniel. And you would be...
Gregory Peck.
No. No. He's way more handsome than you.
It's true.
Gregory Peck, by the way.
He's my number one of the old dead folks that I like.
Don't you think Stephen Colbert looks so much like him?
No, I don't, but I'm very attracted to both of them.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Next
yes.
question.
Yes, thank you. Wait, you would be...
I don't know too many old dead people.
I know.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Who have you gotten before?
No one old-timey. I get Lisa Loeb every day of my life, but she wouldn't know who that is.
It's Lisa Loeb.
Look, Natalie. Look, Hattie. Look, Ron. Look, Audrey. It's Lisa Loeb. Why are we all out on this boat? Rest in peace, Natalie Wood.
Oh. Okay, so Denise Edwards says, I imagine Jess's life playing out like this. He stays with Jimmy. He works at the hot dog stand. Takes up dog walking for Sasha. He somehow bonds with the kid, never wears beach gear despite heat stroking and black clothing all day. One day, walks into a poetry slam / writer's club. Eventually meets some like-minded people and leaves Jimmy wearing one of those grass hats.
Somebody read the Bible for Windward Circle. I also like to imagine that the end of the first season, if they get canceled, because it would get canceled, I'm sorry to say, it turns out that the heat stroke he got from wearing all the like leather and long clothing made him imagine half of his trip.
I'm into that.
And that's how it ends.
I like that.
All these dogs. What? Dogs? We don't have any dogs. What about that girl in the cabinet?
That girl's girl been in the dead cabinet. For 25 years. Yes.
You mean Matilda? You have been watching all those Matilda DVDs.
It's like a Kaiser Soze situation.
Yeah.
Well, and what's funny too about the idea of the spinoff is I feel like what she's describing about what's appealing, like, oh, Venice Beach, and it's kind of dirty and it's a beach town, blah, blah, blah. That's a little bit of that DNA ended up in Bunheads, because Bunheads takes place in Paradise, California, which is also a beach town. So you do get like these very California characters.
But they made it indoors.
Yeah, but they made it indoors.
That's how it
Because they had even less money for that than they did on Gilmore.
Yeah.
But. So it goes.
I really want to talk more about this spinoff.
Yeah.
Who would his friends be? Who are the characters that get introduced in episode two, other than, you know, who we've already seen?
I assume this is the school that Chad Michael Mudface came to, so they become friends because they're both the
No,
worst.
He went to North Carolina, bro.
Okay, well, after North Carolina.
Okay, after that.
Because he gets kicked out of that school, too.
Sure.
And then he comes to this school, and he's about to be a bad kid again, but Jess takes the fall for one of his pranks, and that's how they bond.
Oh, dang.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing leads to another?
One tree leads to a hill. This is awful.
Oh, wait, no, that's not awful. That might be very progressive of the WB.
How does Jimmy afford to live in that house on the beach?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. We've had a lot of discussions.
Maybe Sasha's got all the money.
I was thinking that. Yeah. But what does she do? Because it seems like she's taking care of a ton of cats.
Well, that's episode two, man. I wonder how much they shot for this episode that they cut out.
That's true.
You know? And how much of it was padded for, I don't know. I don't know how backdoor pilots work.
Did they bleach her hair for this episode, or was that just the look that she was rocking at the time?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's not a good.
She comes back and she's not. Blonde.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
A long time.
She looks great no matter what she does.
Yeah.
She looks best as Audrey Horne.
Audrey Horne, baby. That is the cherry stem, the dancing to the 50s music.
But she's on Friends, she's on Gilmore Girls, and she's on Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. And she's on Psych a few years later.
Yeah, we should have her all as a guest on each of our podcasts, respectively.
I was going to say, she's not on The Simpsons. She's like, no, wait, I do the Twin Peaks she podcast.
She could be on The Simpsons.
She might be on The Simpsons.
She should be.
And then we haven't really even talked about the Emily storyline, Emily and Lorelai.
Oh, because I forgot about it. Yeah, I was too focused on
how bad Windward Circle Jerk was.
Yeah. Although I do think the casting choice of Jimmy was very good.
It was good. Yeah, I like that actor. I just don't like his character.
Yeah.
And I didn't find it very compelling. The AV Club described their chemistry as like two dogs that circle each other growling and then just fall down and fly asleep.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
yeah, they're both bringing the same thing to the table.
Right? Yeah, it just seems like yin and yin.
Except Jimmy likes the beach. That's it.
What?
Jimmy likes the beach. That's the difference.
And I don't like the beach. I like books.
If man and property could mate, I'd marry the beach. That line reminded me of the scene in The Master where Joaquin Phoenix is having sex with the sand.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Disgusting.
So let's talk about this Emily storyline.
Yeah, this Emily, speaking of sex with the sand. I like, by the way, that they're all changing in the living room because they live in a huge mansion and they have no other rooms to change in.
Yeah.
Because that's the one set they have, which is a bummer. They do actually expand as the show goes on. You see the pool.
There's a pool?
Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Where do they
ever look? That's a spinoff.
Have you? Emily's pool. And it's just all for like 70-year-old friends like, hey, come to the pool, man.
I would love that.
I would too.
I would too. I'm just thinking, because we've seen their outdoor section before when they were having drinks out there and Emily or Laura just walks away.
Right.
Where is their pool?
Oh, well, it's past that. And the pool house is a little bit past that, too.
Why do they have a pool house? They were like looking for real estate, and they're like, Richard, we have to get a pool. Oh, of course, we'll get a pool. We'll get a pool.
So, something that I have a hard time with on this show is Emily kind of goes back and forth. Like, in some episodes, she really grows, and her relationship with Lorelai really seems to improve.
Evolve.
Yeah, and then we kind of get into these very nitpicky, just like, oh, Emily's an asshole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like she's being difficult for the purpose of being difficult.
She is.
I get that.
And it, you know, I really love Emily, and I think that she's a great person that sucks a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she really is the perfect mom character, especially for someone like Lorelai. But sorry, that was terrifying to me. It's just
quake.
A giant.
That would be the most exciting podcast ever if we have an earthquake in the middle or the first giant of human civilization just comes stomping through.
That would be an exclusive.
It would.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Would you put my name or the giant's name in the iTunes description?
I would say I would put a plus. It's like Allie Gertz plus gentle giant Danny or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I bet it's not that.
Okay.
I bet it's not gentle giant Danny.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
We'd never find out.
I guess you guys have met all the giants. That's great. Cool.
Yeah. None named Danny.
Yeah. So she's a perfect mom character.
Yeah. Not as like. She's the perfect
as a character.
Mom.
Yeah. As a character. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great for, but you know, it's when a show lasts for however long, you can't have them too quickly become the good person that they end up being, because that's not fun television.
Right.
So you have to keep making her go to these annoying things where she gets very temperamental about the tiniest thing, and it makes for good comedy, but just on a personal level, it's kind of hard.
Frustrating.
It's kind of hard.
It's a double-edged sword, because that's one thing Paladin always credits the network with letting her do. Is that she says they let us play stories really slowly because we know what the story we want to tell, but we're going to play it real slow. So we're not going to get here until then. We're not going to get here until then. So, but at the same time, it's like, just get there.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy seeing the highs and lows. But this is all from the fallout of Lorelai paid the loan back.
Yeah.
And Emily doesn't feel like she has control anymore, and so what is their relationship? And being petulant about it and not being well about it.
The loan is like the smartest idea that I've ever seen on a show as far as like how to put all the players in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Because it's such
so
a practical
impressed.
Need. Yeah.
It honestly blew me away. The FAFSA stuff, or I guess they didn't specify FAFSA, but the loan and all this stuff, like it makes it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so good.
I agree. And I was thinking, it's so crazy. I thought it would be like she pays it back and then she'll eventually agree to just do them on her own, like go back to the dinners. But when that FAFSA stuff came in, again, they never, I don't know. How did we get into FAFSA?
The FAFSA.
When the loan stuff comes in, I realized, like, I was like, oh, this isn't done. It's like, it's back. And it's so weird that it's back in a way that, like, when she gets the check, I thought that that was their way of just trying to create more conflict. But really, it was like, oh, that's their way of trying to set up like five different things. And mm-hmm. I didn't expect all of them. So I was like, this is a pleasant surprise. It's cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? How are they going to get it? Does she not get to go to school?
Guess not.
That'd be so funny if they're just like, she's sorry.
She just works at Luke's Diner for the rest of the year.
That'd be
like
so
two
funny.
Seasons later, it just blows up. She's like, you're the reason I didn't go to school. And then it's like, two more seasons of conflict.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Tell me what you think about me.
Although, can I tell you one flaw in the FAFSA stuff?
Yes.
Real quick, is that they judge it by the previous the financial records of the previous year. So not the ones of the current year.
Yeah.
So saying the loan stuff, someone pointed this out to us on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, no,
I'm quoting them. So like it's a minor hole and it's like, who cares? But like, in reality, they'd be looking at 2002, not 2003 earnings.
And also, how fast does she claim this check on her taxes?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the thing. Now. Yeah.
Because she got into Yale like two episodes before she got the check. So I imagine she's like, all right, I'm immediately going to sign this off as a deductible and let the school know that I got this check.
Let the world know.
Yeah, she's just tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is, in the alternate universe where Rory goes to Harvard and no longer lives in Stars Hollow, would you rather follow the Rory?
Are we saying Yale or Harvard?
Harvard.
Okay.
So if she didn't go to Yale.
Okay, sure.
Would you rather follow the Rory TV show or the Lorelai TV show?
Rory, hands down.
I don't know.
Rory, hands down.
Why?
Because I don't think Lorelai has had a storyline that involves just her.
She's a support character. You're right.
She's a support character, but it's like she's very necessary.
Lorelai's a support character?
Compared to Rory?
Compared to Rory, who's since episode one, it's always been about college.
Her college and her relationships.
Sure.
Like, she just doesn't have
like,
quite
she has more thing. Of an arc than Lorelai does.
Lorelai's I mean. Relationships are always just kind of like, that's
but
fine.
That's, and that's what I love about Lorelai is that she does not have this arc of finding the one.
Right.
Or even getting the dream. I mean, she does. She has her in. Hers is she's trying to get the in and she's trying to run her own thing.
She kind of has the arc of finding the one in the season three premiere. She talks about, like, I thought I could have it all with, like, Christopher. She's crying at Luke's diner. I really want it. I really want a bed. Like, everything, the house, the kids, the blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of there, but it's not as prevalent.
Right.
There's, like, seeds that are sown throughout the series of it, but it's not, like, her ultimate drive. Like, Harvard is. Right. Or, like, Justine.
Would you rather watch the Lorelai show, then?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard because I know what the show ends up being when Rory goes to college and they just, they like split their time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Rory can come home like every other weekend and do laundry and do all the festivals still. So they still split their time. But I have more of an affection for the Stars Hollow townies than I do for Rory's college
friends. Of course.
And I love a lot of Rory's college friends. But
me too.
I would love to see Stars Hollow as a show, which I mean would probably be the Lorelai show, but I feel like as a show that would be like more exciting to watch, I think that Rory, just the dynamicness that Rory going off to college and meeting new people and having like Paris and boyfriends or whatever would provide, is probably something I'd honestly more be inclined to be like, yeah, that's the show we want to see.
Because Rory becomes the most interesting in the college years, as opposed to the first three seasons. Her stories are not static, but she is kind of.
Well, yeah, and she's also just little Lorelai, you know. She's,
by the way, something people bring up all the time is that Jess is good for Rory because Jess pushes Rory to be better. He makes her think about the world differently, more interesting, blah, blah, blah. You know, before it was black and white, and now she sees color with Jess, blah, blah, blah. Is that true?
I agree with what I've said in the past.
I agree with me.
I agree with that thought because it's all just a matter of experience. You have to have those. You have to have those people in your life that mm-hmm. you realize maybe were not a good idea. But it gives you agency and it gives you exposure to that side of humanity. And I think heartbreak is the best thing you could go through when you're super young, like Rory.
Sure.
Especially when you're like that good of a kid. Like, I think mm-hmm. it's, I think it's great. I wouldn't suggest that all of her boyfriends be like Jess. But I also wouldn't want them to all be like Dean.
Sure.
But yeah. I definitely do think that he, like that cool, dark boyfriend who gets you into trouble, who's just like, come to New York with me. And
that's not what I think about when I think about Jess. So I don't think like, oh yeah, he like gets her to take risks she wouldn't before. I think like he hurts her in ways she's never been hurt before.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. And like, yeah, I think I've said this before, but like if I were her mother, I would be terrified.
Sure.
If I were Lane, I would be very excited for her. If I were her friend watching it as a peer, I'd be like, go for it. Do it. You know, it's different though.
I think Jess being the person that hurts her in ways she's never been hurt before is probably the best thing about Jess, because Rory was never so actively like trying to change like her relationship when she was with Dean. And like every other episode is her going like, Jess, I'm not standing for this shit. With Jess, and that's great.
Seriously.
That's what she deserves, and mm-hmm. she needs to be more assertive, and I love that about her. Like, I feel, like, cheering every time she calls him. It's just like, look, I'm not, like, in the next, God, in the next episode, it happens in a big way, and
it makes me so excited.
Yes, it was a good moment.
And for that, Jess is crucial in her kind of transformation from Bella to Katniss, essentially.
from Bella to Katniss, from Justin to Kelly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I guess there's no other way to do it, is there? Without, like, some serious heartbreak. But I don't know. I just wish kind of getting rapey at a party wasn't a part of it, I guess.
I don't think it is, but it is an unfortunate bump along that road that happened in this situation.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about that scene one more time. I think that it's so amazing and important that that was shown on TV. Like, I think it's so good to show young girls that that is something that could happen.
Right.
And it could be someone that loves you.
Right. And someone that's not so drunk.
Important. Yeah.
It's someone that's not under the influence of, like, substances.
Yeah. He definitely, one would argue, he really cares about her. Mm-hmm. They even say she does want to have sex. So it sets up this really great dialogue that I think is extremely important and maybe underrated. I don't know how it was received at the time, but I think it's a really great lesson, especially if I imagine a lot of the people that were watching this at the time were, you know, daughters and hopefully their moms with them. But I think it's perfect. Like, I have not seen that, really. I've seen stuff similar on Mad Men. I have not seen stuff like that on like not a kid show, but like family
a network
show.
Yeah. Kind of family-ish.
Yeah,
show.
I think it's really a great risk that they took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I applaud it. I think everything about it was handled pretty well. Like, from a writing, and it was delicate. It was very
done. You know, all I want is to continue seeing Rory get super strong as a person.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is a side effect of Jess or just something that happened because she was stressed, but Rory especially did not take any shit when it came to Emily at the end, where she's like, you're being stupid.
I love that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yes. Yeah. I love that so much. And Emily's look of like, how dare you, but also like,
you're right.
Maybe.
Busted.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Because
she was straight up lying to Lorelai about like, we had plans.
And Rory
like,
got drawn into
it's
it.
Cool how we don't have plans tonight, right?
Yeah. Richard is so oblivious, and I love it.
Nothing to do at all.
It was going to be a boring night at the Gilmore House.
There was no follow-up on that in the next episode, was there?
No.
No.
That's okay.
We're talking a lot about what might happen in the next episode.
It's hard not to.
It is
when
difficult.
You watch them together. Any other stray observations about the episode, things we want to cover, things
Luke's
about Venice?
Short involvement in this episode was actually really funny because he's just like trying not to tell Rory about Jess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he is sweeping the porch and then he
just runs. Bolts inside.
What a sweetie. What a sweetie.
I love
Peter.
Luke.
Yeah. I do too.
I love him too.
He's a dork. In driving back from the airport after getting stabbed, I realized that. Okay, the
Who stabbed you?
Oh my God, Brad Pitt.
What?
Wow, you didn't tell us.
I didn't.
I
heard. Thelma and Louise, Brad Pitt?
I heard Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Sorry. Oh, wait, Brad Pitt from Thelma and Louise?
Yes.
Got it.
Mm. Yes. Brad Pitt from Thelma
that's
and
Louise.
That's
definitely my favorite movie with him.
Mm-hmm.
Thelma and Louise is Brad Pitt.
Or True Romance.
Brad Pitt. no, I was driving back and I saw the Pans restaurant. You know that restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
I realized, is that the same? Is that what Luke's like logo is an homage to?
Pans.
It definitely could be. That kind of design is pretty popular for when it came out. Like, it's just a particular style, but it is also a very iconic restaurant. It would make total sense.
Anywho, but yeah.
Pans Restaurant.
Pans Labyrinth.
Oh, that's the first thing that
Brad
came up.
Brad Pitt.
Oh.
He's in Pan's Labyrinth.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's the guy with the hands, with the eyes on his hands.
Yeah,
he can
right.
do it all. I didn't even recognize him.
It was such a transformative role.
Probably because he didn't go, ugh. Yeah.
That's just your impression of Terry Gilliam's impression of him. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, okay. Luke was cute. Oh, there was that one scene at Chilton where the girls were like, jean jackets are out. I was like, oh, they better not be.
Yeah. I love
maybe 12 years ago.
It's such a dumb joke that I really liked when what was the magazine that they were saying that was in? Like
Cosmo.
It starts
know.
With an M.
Like Marie
Yeah, Marie Claire.
Marie Claire.
Okay.
So she's just like, yeah, jean jackets aren't in Vogue. She's like, no, Marie Claire, because Vogue is also a magazine.
Oh.
And it was a very cute little...
It's like a who's on first.
It's exactly a who's on first.
I'm so... I didn't even pick that up.
It made me laugh very loud. I screamed. And
you screamed laughter.
I took a chair and started hitting myself over the head.
Oh, God.
So funny.
Allie, that's not good.
I'm a little dizzy.
Today's TV doesn't ever do Marie Claire jokes.
Should we do the fashion report real quick?
Sure. Why? What? We gotta do the deep breath so we're on sync.
Okay.
Fashion. There we go.
Jess's dad, Jimmy, looked homeless. Like what he was wearing, he looked homeless. I just wrote down Jess's leather jacket. Ah ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
It's so dumb looking.
It has so many zippers.
Just get over it.
What is he holding in there?
What are you doing?
Did it make you laugh? It made me angry.
It made me angry laugh.
I didn't know what to feel because it was trying to like they were trying to set up like this is a big change for Jess, but all I could imagine was Tobias, just like
leather daddy.
Is there some sort of leather daddy? Yeah.
Oh, do you have such a thing? And then also Emily's wearing that classic cardigan of hers, the two tone with the pink and blue, which also, spoiler, she does wear in the very last episode of the show. So I don't know what the significance of is of that.
It looks like one of those special Pokeballs.
I think all Pokeballs are special.
Yeah, but like the real special ones.
Right. Tell me more about this cardigan.
It's blue on top, pink on the bottom.
It's kind of squared off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not flattering, Emily.
Wow. Fashion police over here.
Burnt.
Really honoring the
Deal
legacy
breaker.
Of Miss Rivers.
I'm a good person to talk about fashion because coming up to this room, a homeless man said, not to be facetious, there's a tear in your tights.
That happened. I was there.
Not to be facetious.
I think he misused the word. Let's give him a break.
No.
Okay.
How dare he? Jess walks off the bus with the leather jacket, and he's got this giant duffel bag.
Full of more leather jackets.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, it's just four more long sleeve shirts. A Ramones LP because he's so punk and hip.
And a copy of The Fountainhead.
Yeah, it's four leather jackets, a copy of The Fountainhead,
and a Ramones LP. And a pear tree. The first dude off the bus I don't know if you guys noticed this.
I didn't.
He was wearing a full-on like orange Hawaiian shirt with like some like framed thing around his neck that was not a camera. It was like if he had to keep his bus pass safe on him,
He
had like sandals with socks.
It's a tourist.
And this he didn't look like a tourist. He looked like he's like, well, I'm going into town for the Jimmy Buffett concert, and then I'm gonna leave. But all I could think, I was trying to imagine, what's this dude's story? Because he's alone on the bus going to Venice.
Spin off.
Yeah, follow that guy.
I want to see that guy come back in Windward Circle and be like, oh, you don't remember me? We were on the bus together. I've been with you this whole time, Jess.
And it's like his dead uncle, and it's like a ghost that like comforts him.
It's his real dad. Advice.
Oh, wow.
And then Jimmy.
Who the hell's Jimmy?
And Sasha are
con artists.
Yeah, they're con artists, and that's the Americans.
Ooh, perfect shared universe.
Yeah,
interesting. We already talked about her terrible hair.
Did we talk
Sasha's
about
hair?
Lorelai's peace sign shirt?
Oh, I didn't know if it said peace or peach on it.
No, I think it's just a peace sign.
Oh, I'm peace thinking of the next. Yeah,
she owns too many peace shirts. Like more than zero is too many.
Yeah, I definitely think she dresses in. Kind of like, I think that her fashion is in an arrested state of development. Like, she's kind of dressing how she did when she left. Like, she hasn't really updated her style. She still dresses like someone who's 16.
Psychological shit.
Ali's been bringing the heaviness
she
today
really
with
has.
The like analysis.
I really like to bum people out.
No, it's not a bum out. It's an insight. No,
it's great.
Mission Impossible. You can never bum us out.
Dun, 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 dun. Great.
What's that?
I wrote it.
Do,
it's the Mission Impossible.
Do, do, do. But it goes, do, 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 do.
And then that's the base.
Did you say Submission Impossible?
No.
What's happening?
And then the other instrument comes up on top. I thought we were all going to do it.
Okay. You do it again, and I'll do the other instrument, and then Kevin will come in with the last instrument. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you guys broke my trust, and I can't.
2, 3, 4.
Do, 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 do,
do, Mission Impossible. It is not possible. Mission Impossible. I'm hanging off the plane. All hail Xenu. Mission Impossible.
This is like Grandmaster Flash presents Mission Impossible.
I was accidentally singing Kim Possible.
Oh.
Oh. Call me, beat me if you want to reach me.
If you want to page me, that's okay.
So anyway.
Should we rate the app?
We should end the fashion report first.
Oh, sorry.
Just you do it.
No.
I'm kidding.
Fashion. How's this going to work tomorrow, dude?
I think it'll be fine.
Should we have everyone do it? All together now.
I think it'll happen whether or not we want it to.
That's
or at least
true.
I hope.
I hope too.
Anyway.
Rating the episode, not good. Sorry, guys. Not good.
Out of what?
5, not good. No, I mean, it was serving too many masters at the same time. And even Amy's heart didn't seem terribly into it. It didn't seem like, oh, I love these characters in Venice.
Not at all.
Like, it didn't seem like she was putting any blood into it. It was just like, it sounded like what she had said in the interview. Like, I don't think they wanted it. And she didn't say it. It was like, I don't want it either. I don't care. Here's a spinoff.
I never thought that I would see a girl in a cabinet and not want to follow up on that.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, we're good. Saying, yeah, that girl was a little nightmare.
Go ahead and shut the door. I'm
That's
sure she's
fine. That's
what
the second season is for.
Yeah. American Horror Story, Girl in the Cabinet.
They were so sure that, like, there's a lot of stuff we'll explain in the actual first episode.
Yeah. So I'm giving it 4. No, but I mean, I liked Miss Celine. And there was some Emily Lorelai stuff I liked, but. But overall, one of the worst episodes of the first 6 seasons, for sure, in the bottom 10. So I'm going to give it a generous... Nope, I'm saying 4 out of 10 duffel bags full of leather jackets, a Ramones LP, and a copy of The Fountainhead.
I'm going to agree with you that it's not one of the best episodes. I don't think that any of the Jess stuff really grabbed my attention, even though that monologue at the end was some of the... It was a very nice Jess moment for us to kind of sympathize with him and realize that, like,
kinda,
stuff is
yeah.
hard for him, but it didn't really redeem the rest of it for me.
Are we not compassionate people for not feeling worse for
no, no,
him?
No, we're not. No.
Okay.
And I think that all the other stuff in Stars Hollow was just sort of passive and feels like it could have just been outtakes.
Yeah, like nothing had momentum either way. Yeah. There was no like real pulse.
Although I did love the Emily scene at the end where she is lying to Lorelai about the book club.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
The lovely bones. So I'm going to give this episode 4 Wizard of Oz Man Behind the Curtains out of 10.
Oh, gosh.
I'm in the same boat as you guys. I think we've all kind of touched on the reasons on why this doesn't work. It's still charming, but we don't even really get to focus on the characters we love the most. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Oh, shit. Our lowest rating
3
ever.
3 hemp hats.
3 hemp hats.
Out of 10.
Okay.
Why don't you make that 4.20 hemp hats?
Oh, Demi, no.
Demi, no. Not again. Drugs.
Right on air.
Oh, boy. Well, it's not a time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Allie, what you got to plug? Podcast?
Yeah, podcast. Everything's coming up. Podcast, Simpsons Pod on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at Allie Gertz and my website, AllieGertz.com.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, websites.
Yeah, plugging it up. I'm at Kevin T. Porter on all the places, and you can find me. Well, actually, I'll just give out my home address. It's California.
Sick. I'm so glad you did that. That's his real address, I'm pretty sure. Why did you do that?
Well, he's giving his address. I should give out mine.
Oh, fine. I guess I gotta give out mine, too.
Everybody tweet us your home address.
I don't know about this game.
We'll put them in a text edit document and just send them out to the fans. I was about to say, my name is Demi. You can find
me.
To
say.
I've been here about 3 months. I'm at Electra Lemon on everything, and you can find me also at, what was it,
115. California.
California, 9 something something.
Yeah, come on! Rock and roll!
Yes.
I might bleep that out.
You might. You might bleep out
yeah,
your address.
I will. Oh, and then follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show, Instagram at Gilmore Guys Show. Send us email, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com for our Gilmail Guys episodes.
Also known as Emaily Gilmail.
Emaily Gilmail. Come on, guys.
Such a cluttered name.
And yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully you get some cool stuff in the mail.
Yeah, I hope so too. I was just trying to think about what to say in conjunction with the live show. But I guess there's nothing to, because this will come out a week after it happens.
Look, the live show was a disaster, as you all know.
It was awful.
We're sorry about
that. Let us never talk of it again.
Yes.
I came out and I peed myself, slipped on my own puddle of pee.
From there, it was all the way up.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, no, then Demi accidentally shouted the C word repeatedly.
They closed down the UCB theater.
I can't believe we single-handedly ruined the theater.
I ran off stage crying, and Demi set fire to my computer as retribution for ruining what he called his big moment.
Where I finally got to scream the C word.
Jessica St. Clair shot me in the neck
right
when I came backstage. Just kidding. She didn't do that. That was just a funny joke.
The rest of it's real.
The rest of it's real, though. So that's what happened. But anyway, you can find footage of that. We're gonna video it, and we'll hope to release in some fashion, maybe like a clip or two from it.
We'll send it to your home address.
Yeah, send it to my home address.
Yeah.
Get a VHS.
Again, that was... Oh, my bad.
Yeah. It's gonna be hard to edit.
Okay.
Every time we say it. All right, so that's it, guys. Allie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This was fun.
For our last in-studio episode of season 3. What?
It's just, yeah.
Well, I was just trying to make it a fun.
No, yeah, it is.
All right, here we go.
If you're out on the road.
Feeling lonely and so cold.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo.
Little darling.
Where you leave.
Here comes the sun.
I just want to hear Allie sing. Guys, Allie has a gorgeous voice, if you didn't know.
Allie Gertz, everybody!
No.
Not for free.
When have I ever agreed to sing?
That's true.
Every time you do this podcast, you agree to sing.
Every time I do this podcast, I've said no. I've never sung on the show.
You haven't?
No.
Wait, you've never sang the theme song?
No. Where you lead,
really?
That will follow.
I try, and I do. Where you it made lead, me so nervous. I hate it.
You're going to now.
Anywhere.
You're such a wonderful, beautiful performer.
Anywhere that you tell me to. Anywhere you tell me.
On the road.
I don't know the words. Can't
feeling lonely and so cold.
Take it, Allie Gertz.
No. No. You guys, stop it.
No, don't.
And
don't
I'll
sing.
Be
don't
there.
Sing. No.
On the next train. Choo-choo. I will follow.
Aw, hell.
That's all I'm doing.
That, just, I will follow.
You tell me to if you need. I will follow. Allie Gertz, take it.
Where you lead, I will follow.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm standing over her and looking at her so
intimidating.
You need me.
Oh God.
Kevin's having such a hard time right now.
I like that song.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever. Dude, you should call Brad Pitt's lawyers or something.
No, I would never. I want him to sign the scar.
Oh, okay.